Thank you, fellas.
I sure can't preach like you can. Everybody's thankful, but I'm not going to try.
When he moves among us, all that he does, all of his mercy, all of his love, if a pen of a writer could write every day, not even this world could ever contain how I've been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, laughter of summer, changing of leaves, food on my table and a good place to sleep, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I will just thank him for being so kind. God has been good. So good. I have been. Arms that will raise, and a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. I've got to praise him as long as I breathe, for I have been blessed. A mother and father who nurtured and raised, sisters and brothers, memories made. A pastor to lead us, an altar to pray, stripes that can heal, the blood that still saves. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I will just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good, I have been blessed. We live in this country, the greatest on earth, where the flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have given some, but some gave it all, so we could be blessed. He's my shelter to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wing. He's not just a song, he's a reason I sing. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I will just thank him for being so kind. God has been good. So good. I have been blessed. God has been good. So by his debt of sin as he reached the temple gate. Through tears of shame he watches and he makes the sacrifice. As the blood is shed, he lifts his head, for he knows the price is paid. He feels redemption in his heart, and with a grateful voice he cries. When God looks at me, he sees the Lamb, not what I am. Of a country church walks a man with trembling hands, 'cause he knows with all his heart he's been a weak and sinful man. But he'd heard the preacher talk about a place called Calvary, where the Lamb of God shed his blood for sinners such as he. Kneeling at the altar, he feels a great relief. He lifts his eyes toward the skies and he shouts in victory. When God looks at me, he sees Jesus, not what I am.
Of my sins, but he sees him washed and robed in his righteousness. Now I thank the Lord for that. It's good to be saved. That's all I know. I'm glad I'm saved. The grace of God washed in his blood. And I appreciate you for being here tonight in the service. I trust you've had a good day in the Lord. And I'm a nervous kind of guy, and I forget about my mic, brother, and they'll look at me kind of like a zombie. They don't know. I'm thinking, and it hits me. I said, they ain't hearing a thing I say, so I got to back up and hit her again. But I hope you can hear me. I thought about giving all them a mic so I can hear them. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But I want you to look, if you will, please, in 1 Kings tonight, in 1 Kings chapter number 17, And by the help of the Lord, I'll try to preach from this stall tonight. I do try to be careful with time because I know, but in the same token, I'm like the pastor. I like to hear from the Lord, and I want to try to be careful with the time, but I want to try to be cautious of what he wants us to do. So I brought a pot of water. I told that girl back there I wasn't making no moonshine or corn liquor or nothing, but just water. I got seven cups here, and seven, of course, is God's perfect number. And I thought if I preach a half hour on each cup, we might get out of here by midnight. I don't know, but I'll try not to do that tonight. I do want to share this little thought tonight, if I could, in 1 Kings chapter number 17. If you're able to stand in reference to the Word of God tonight, the Bible said in 1 Kings chapter number 17 and verse number 8, it said, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make it, make for thee and for thy son. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Thank you for the good special singing we've heard. What a blessing it is. Now it stirs our hearts toward the things of God. I thank you for this fine, humble pastor and his people, Lord. I pray that God should use us tonight as your vessel. I pray you'd speak to us and speak through us the very words underneath of this hour. And all I know to do, God, is just try to mind you the best I can. Would you bless the man of God that's to come after us, Lord? I pray you'd use this service for thy glory and thy honor. May every eye be upon thee, Lord, I pray. May every ear be attentive to thy voice. Lord, we'll thank you. We'll love you and praise you for everything that you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to look at that verse of scripture. Of course, you'll find the word little mentioned three times. It talks about how Elijah asked for a little water to be brought in a vessel. And of course, down in verse number 13, it talks about the little cake. First, then he mentions in verse number 12 about a little oil in the cruse. But really, I want to draw my text tonight or this morning or tonight, if I could, on the vessel, a little water in a vessel. Elijah said, just bring me a little water in a vessel. And I want to use that scripture, that if I could, tonight, upon how Christians are not empty, but they're not full. How many people are not empty. We are a vessel, the Lord. The Bible said we have hidden treasures in earthen vessels. So if we've been born again and saved by the grace of God, then we are a chosen vessel of the Lord. We have His presence, abiding presence that lives with us. I'm afraid, as the preacher said about wanting more of God, and I'll try to get on that in just a moment, but I'm afraid many of us, if not all of us at times, we run on empty instead of on full. I'm afraid a lot of times we're like that water in a vessel. There's just a little bit in it. Now, you can see this pail I've got here just got a little water in it. I think that's the way I run about two-thirds of my life. I'm running on low or empty, and I hate to run that way. I like to run on full if I can and be full of God and have everything that God wants me to have. And I think that God wants every child of God to be filled to the rim and full of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that with all my heart. I'm afraid that most of us tonight are running on near empty. Just have a little. We're not empty. We're not going to hell. We're saved by God's grace, washed in His blood, bound for heaven. Thank God it's eternal and it's settled at Calvary. And I'm glad for that. But God's got more for us than just be
being born again. He's got more of the Christian life than just being saved and going to heaven. God wants us to be full of Him and to be filled of Him. And I think there's seven cups that I want to give you tonight by the help of God, and I'll be very brief by the help of the Lord. I want to give them to you if I can. Maybe it'll be a help. I hope it will. First of all, I think about the cup of Him and His preeminence. The preeminence of God in this cup, I believe it's what every child of God must have to be full of the Lord. In other words, to have God first and foremost in everything that goes on. That's where sometimes we get sidetracked in life, is because we fail to allow God to have the preeminence of the Lord. I mean, I'm a man, and I'm most of these men tonight, they're probably with me. There's a couple of things that men hate to do. I mean, I know there's a couple of things I hate, despise. I hate for somebody to have to tell me about directions, how to get somewhere. I'll spend a half a tank of gas, running half an hour, out of the way, trying to find my way instead of stopping and asking somebody for directions, how, where I'm going. I'll do that. Just a manly thing about it. So I guess, Brother Jason, I don't know. That's the way I am. My wife will say, don't you stop and ask somebody. I said, no, I'll find it. I'll just drive around, look and look and lurk and look around instead of stopping and ask somebody and save a whole lot of trouble along the way. And there's something else that man hates to do. I hate to put things together by directions. I mean, man, I'll get me a box and I'll love a good thing and my wife will bring it home and I'm hoping to it's already together, but boy, if it ain't together, I'm thinking, Lord, I'll get her. I'll look at that pitch on that box and I'll see that pitch on that box. I say, ain't no problem. I'll get that together. I'll put that thing together. It won't halfway work. It's lopsided and the wheels won't roll and half the bolts are still in the box, man. I'm thinking, Lord God, they give us too many bolts for this thing and the thing don't work. That's the way it is with our Christian life. Sometimes, preacher, that's the way we are. We wonder why we're not running right, why things ain't going right. It's because we fail to read the manual. We fail to read directions. We fail to watch God's word and we wait. God, the Bible said rightly, amen, to seek Him in all thy ways. If you'll seek the Lord and seek Him first in His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto thee. I'm telling you, brother, acknowledge Him in all thy ways. Amen. Write the tablets of His commandments upon your heart. Bend about your neck, praise God. And you'll see peace and you'll understand that. I believe God's got some good things for our life. In every avenue we face, thank God. If we'll just follow the directions of God and seek His guidance, we'll find the preeminence of God to be what we need every day, all day long. Amen. I believe that, don't you? Save a whole lot of heartache. I believe most of our storms we go through, most of our hardships, because we self-afflict ourselves. We fail to read directions. We fail to look at the manual, I'm afraid. And then we have to back up and undo and fix it again and get it all straightened out and try to go again. Or if we just read the manual, praise God, and take what He says, I believe it'll be all right, don't you? Amen. I'm afraid some of our stuff is like cafeteria style, you know. We'll take what we want and leave the rest. That's about the way it is. Well, so that's not for me. That's not for me. Sometimes we'll pack on the Jews, you know. Give it to the Jews instead of us. Now, I'm afraid if we're right and divided Scripture, we'll find the whole of it's for us. And we need the Lord's help. And if we'll seek Him in our life, in our everyday life, and everything with our marriage, or jobs, or church, or position, whatever it is, if we'll seek the Lord first and seek what He wants in our life and seek the preeminence of God, everything else will fall in place. I believe that with all my heart. Let me give you another cup here because we got six more to go. I believe that if you look at that, not only the preeminence of God, but you'll see that God's presence, the sovereign of His presence in the house of God. Boy, some want a little, but not everybody wants it all. I was thinking about that preeminence of God. Boy, I can tell. I can preach about the drunkard and the harlot and the whoremonger. Everybody will shout me down. I'll preach about that old backslid, mossy back hypocrite that whines and fusses and quarrels. They'll draw up like an old frog on a lump. Amen. They won't speak to you and all that old man. I said, that works for everybody. I need preached on. I think about not only that, but I think about the presence of the sovereign grace of God. All this emotionism you see in most churches today, it's not of God. It's just old fleshly stuff, man. It just about grosses me out. I mean, I got that happy, clappy outfit and that paper alley stuff, you know. I mean, that's all this is aroused in the flesh. I'll tell you one thing I do know. I know this. You'll brag on Jesus, the Father will show up. If you'll brag on His Son, praise God, He'll walk in the midst of His children. I'm telling you, glory to God. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. myself. I'm telling you, I know the difference when the glory cloud walks in and the glory shuts the house down. I know it's real and I know it's not real. Amen. I like the Shekinah glory to be among the church. I don't want a riddle. I want a lot of it. Amen. I want God to walk in the camp again. Amen. Hallelujah, man. I want more than a little, son. I want a lot of it. I'm going to have to hold this thing. It'll be all right, won't it? Lord, have mercy. I tell you, boy, we need God. We tried the entertainment. We tried pep rallies. We tried everything else. All we need is to seek the Lord and brag on Jesus. Let my singing be about Jesus. Let my preaching be about Jesus. Let my invitation be about Jesus. Let my lesson be about Jesus. And it's about the Jesus that I know and the one that saved me. I promise you, in the Holy Ghost of God, the Father will show up. Amen. He'll show up. And glory will be in the house again. Amen. Yeah. I don't want a little. I want a lot. I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you this. I believe if you pour another cup in there, you'll find where it talks about having the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I believe when God saved me, I got all of God, every bit of Him. I believe ever since I've been saved, God's been wanting me. That's why He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. God wants more than just to save me. He wants us, that's a commandment. It's not an options commandment. Be filled with the Holy Ghost of God until you empty yourself out of the old world and the flesh parts of the world, He can't fill you. But if you'll empty out of old self and of sin and society, God's Holy Spirit will abide in you and He'll bless, God will bless your heart. Somebody asked me one time, so what's the difference in John 20 and Acts chapter 1? Well, it was up on Pentecost and the Holy Ghost of God came in. I said, Acts chapter 1 when Pentecost came, the Bible said they all had the Holy Ghost of God. That sweet Holy Ghost of God abide in them, took its abiding presence in them. But in John chapter 20, the Bible said Jesus came after He resurrected from the dead, Brother Jason, and He walked in that temple, walked right through the door of that temple. When He walked in, they were sitting there scared to death, He was going to die, and they sit there scared, trembling. And the Bible said Jesus began to speak peace to them, and He breathed on them and said, amen, receive the Holy Ghost of God. I said, I'll tell you there between Acts chapter 1 and John chapter 20, I said, there you'll find the power of the Holy Ghost of God, that anointing power. I mean, Acts chapter 1, He speaks about the church having the abiding presence of God. When God saved me, I got His abiding presence, and lo, He is with me always, even to the end of the world. But John chapter 20, praise God, is when God breathes on you and He fills you with that anointing touch, that Holy Ghost power, that unction, thank God, that you need to fight the imps of hell. That's why He said, finally, my brethren, send the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. And you may fight the wiles of the devil. Amen. There's a warfare going on. I'm not fighting flesh and blood, but I'm fighting the principalities and the power of this air. God, give me an unction. Amen. Holy Ghost power to fight the ebbs of hell. Amen. You better have a full tank. Amen. You got to have that Holy Ghost power. Be filled to the rim. I know one thing, you can't fight Him just being saved. You got to be sold out, amen, surrendered. That's why folk can't get the victory. That's why folk are losing their song, losing their shout, lost their shoes, lost their shirt. Amen. They're lost out, man. All because they don't have that unction. They're not willing to put on the whole armor of God and stand the power of His might. I remember, boy, for 10 years of my life, man, I run from preaching. I didn't want to preach. I saw my daddy preach, and I saw him wallowing tears. And I saw him as he cried himself in the sleep of the night, trying to pass them old hard-headed Baptists. They were like hard jails. They were mean and miserable. And you couldn't do much with them, running out all hours of the night. God dealt with my heart and said, boy, I want you to preach. And I said, oh, no, you don't want me, Lord. I'd run for 10 long years. Boy, I couldn't start to begin to tell you the storms that I went through and the joint experience that I experienced in my life. I remember one Easter morning 22 years ago in a little old double wide trailer, 14 feet wide, 70 feet long, in a little old closet, but I couldn't hang a shirt in it. I remember getting down that Easter Monday morning and got down as far as I could go and said, God, I can't take no more. I took all this I can take, God. I've run out of everything I've got. I've wasted my living on righteous living, but God, if you can use me, Lord, here I am, lock, stock, and barrel. Boy, I want to tell you, God, move that little clock. I don't have room, but it moved in. It moved in, praise God. I'm telling you, for 22 years, it's not been an easy journey, but it's the best life I've ever had. I've been saved for 41 years, but I've just been spirit-filled for 22 of them. And I'm telling you, sometimes I get low, sometimes I get down, but praise God, I've never been sorry that I'm sold out for God. It's a joy to serve Jesus, amen. Hallelujah, son. Praise God. Nothing like being spirit-filled. Amen. I could go on with that. I believe I will. I remember the first, I hadn't been preaching about 2 or 3 weeks. Scared to death. I was afraid, man. I said, Lord, every time they call, I remember I preached my first message. I preached on the prodigal son. I preached about 15 words, I guess. Something about he come home. He left home, come home, repented, got right, saved the house. Good night and God bless. It's what I did. Boy, I was scared to death. My knees are knocking. I was scared. I remember it wasn't 2 weeks after that. Oh, man of God. He called me up and said, Brother Billy, I want you another fellow to take night about and preach a revival meeting. I said, wow. I'm at a revival meeting. 6 nights. I had it all planned out, Jason. 3 nights for me. 3 nights for Ralph Servant. I had my knife all picked out. I had my message all outlined. Son, I was ready. I got up there and memorized everything I said. I had it mimicked and memorized. I knew when to throw my leg up, when to lower down. Boy, it was stale, as dead as dry as a doornail. I said, but God, every night I'd go home, I said, God, you told me to preach. I didn't want to preach. I don't know what's the matter, Lord. I said, here I am trying to do what you told me. He said, but you ain't give it all to me yet, son. I didn't know where. On Saturday night, God, that old preacher come by and said, Preacher Billy, I want you to come back Sunday morning. It was stale and dead and dry. Them old folk fall asleep on you. I mean, it's bad. I said, you want me to come back in the morning? I just had 3 messages all I had. I didn't have the fourth one. I went home at 10 o'clock at night, knocked on my dad's door and said, hey, Dad, you got a message for the Lord? I got something I got to preach. He said, son, if you're going to preach, you better get it from God. I tell you, I went home, brother preacher. I went home waiting that, getting that bed. I tossed and turned, rolled around, flipped and flopped. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, Lord God, what am I going to do? I don't have no outline. I don't have nothing to give them. God said, turn loose, son, let me have the way. Boy, that morning I got up and preached on Revelation chapter 2 with that first earth left his first love. I don't know what I said, preacher. I don't know what happened, but the glory cloud rolled in. Sinners, God saying, saints, God happy. I tell you, praise God. God showed up and so long, amen. He'll do it when you turn loose and let God have his way. He'll spirit fill you, amen. He'll do the rest. He can do it. I'm still learning that lesson. I ain't graduated yet, by the way. I'm still learning. I'll tell you, it feels mighty good when I get to let go of the reins. Let God have control. When you study all you know to study and you pray all you can pray, just let go and let God have the rest. Amen. Being spirit filled. I got to hurry. Lord, have mercy. Here's another cup, man. I'm telling you. But when you have prayer of the saints of God, when you pray, now we all to pray. I guess everybody prays. I told you last night some of my prayers don't get past the ceiling. Don't get past the carpet. But you remember Elijah was a prayerful man. He was a prayer man like passion like we are. Yet the Bible said he's a praying man. He prayed fervently. He prayed with zeal and desire. He prayed earnestly. I mean, man, when he prayed, the fire of God fell. Amen. He told them old Ahab and Jezebel, and said, boys, let's kill. Let's go ahead and take an ox and lamb on the fire, on the wood. We'll build an altar. You know the story. He said, we'll find out whose God's real. Amen. Oh, Elijah, get a hold of God, couldn't he? He prayed the fire down. 63 words, and thank God the fire of God had fell, and God moved on that mountain, and they all seen who God really was. Amen. One thing that changed America, it won't be a new president. It won't be a better equipment. It won't be better lifestyles. It'll be when folk get to praying right with God and intervening with God, interceding with God, praying like Elijah prayed with hot, passionate prayers. Amen.
That's right.
Boy, I believe that. Prayer, the Bible said, pray, said, believe, have faith in God. That's what he said in Mark chapter 11, have faith in God. Man, that's what we need. Oh, he said, if you believe and have faith in God, you can ask this mountain to be moved, it'll be moved far from thee. And pray without doubting, amen. That's real prayer. The only way you can believe, please God, is to pray in faith believing. And to believe that he is, and a reward of them that they'll just seek him. I believe he is God. I believe it's time there's none other.
Amen.
I believe when I'm calling on him, I'm calling on the divine, holy, inspired God.
Amen.
Infallible, indisputable, indestructible, none like him. I believe that. But you got to believe with faith that God can move the obstacle out of the way. I remember an old story about an old boy. He's hitchhiking down the road, Pastor. He had a big old backpack on his back. He walked down that road. A man and a woman picked him up and said, son, you need a ride? Yes, and hop in the back of the truck. He got in the back of the truck, Brother Jason. When he hopped in the back of the truck, he had the backpack on him. They were riding down the road, and that woman looked over to her husband and said, honey, he's still carrying his backpack. He stopped the truck. God said, son, won't you lay your backpack down in the truck? He said, I'm afraid the truck can't carry the backpack of me, too.
Yeah,
that's the way we are, ain't it? We're afraid God can't carry our backpack or burden us, too. But I'm telling you, God can.
Amen.
God, don't get that. Looks like cast all your burdens on him. All your cares on him, for he careth for thee. You remember what Elijah said? Elijah said, boys, you better, oh, Ahab, you better get down here. It's going to rain.
Yeah.
It's going to rain. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. Hadn't rained 3.5 years. Oh, Elijah had his umbrella out.
Yeah.
He's ready. Yeah. He wasn't walking around with that. He knew it was going to rain.
Yeah.
The Bible said, he told the servant, said, go out there, son. Look, see if you can find the cloud. The Bible said, he went out there on that hill. I don't see nothing. He said, go out 7 times. And he went out the 7th time. Every time he come back, I don't see a thing. Keep going, son. No, I just kept on praying. He knew that God was going to show up. That old boy said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus. Now I'm telling you, I'm amazed what God can do with little boys like you, what God can do with little boys like me. Son, if you let God and you trust God and believe God, he can move the hindering cause. He can do for you what you can't do for yourself. God's able to send the rain.
Amen.
He can do it through faith, prayer, and faith, and believe and trust in the Lord. Then let me give you this, and I'm done. I've got to quit, man. I'm turning this mic all to pieces here. You got a wrestling match going on. Let me give you this. I believe with all my heart. Look here. I believe you ought to have not. Yeah, you ought to pray. Pray in faith, believe. And I mean, you ought to have pity for sinners. Don't you?
Amen.
I believe folk, y'all drive for sinners. Thank God, church still drive for sinners. It's what it's all about.
Yes, right.
The primary purpose for every church is to win souls to Christ.
Amen.
Win people to Christ. But I tell you, God's got a method for how you win souls to Christ. Let me tell you how he's got his method. I believe with all my heart. You ought to first have concern for sinners. Have concern. Over our way, we got a concern. The folk come to prayer meeting, they'll come and say, I want you to pray for my mom, my dad, my aunt, my sister, my brother, my daughter, my kids. I want you to pray for them. That's about as far as it ever goes. Most people ask you to pray for them, they'll pray for the sinners. That's as far as it ever goes. They have a little bit of concern. Have a little bit. But don't go deep enough. I remember when Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 9, looked at over them fields, he saw his sheep scattered because there wasn't no shepherd. He wept and said, oh, The harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. God sent forth labors in the field. He wept over them. But when your concern becomes tears, the Bible says in Psalms 121, I believe it is, they did go forth weeping. Barren precious seeds shall doubtless come again. That word doubtless means they will definitely come again, bringing in the seeds. Somebody said, we just can't get them. And I said, oh yeah, if God ever breaks your heart, Lord, the joy just rolls down your face and you begin to weep and cry over lost sinners going to hell without God again, I promise you, you'll doubtless bring them in. Thank God they'll get saved by the grace of God. I can't break a heart. I can't break my own heart. But if I let God break my heart for sinners, let God, oh, Lord, I want you to do for me what I can't do and break my heart, I believe the tears, the outlets will show. Tears will flow. I believe with tears, it'll bring forth compassion. Concern brings compassion. And compassion brings compelment. Man, the Bible said, go out and compel them to come at my house. My house may be filled. Beg them to come. Beg them. Plead with them. Hey, there's something we've lost in these last generation. I believe we swallowed a bad bait in the devil. The devil said, I ain't going to push them. I ain't going to drive them. You know, I ain't going to push them too hard. I'm afraid I'll push them away. All hogwash.
Amen.
You know, I told somebody, I said, you were driving down the road and you saw your girl, your boy in a two-story building. That house is on fire. You do all you could to get them out. Everything you could, you'd do what you could to get them out of that fire. And if we knew, if we could see hell beneath our feet, 13 miles down beneath our feet, if God rolled back that curtain of mercy they're standing on tonight and could see the flames of hell and fixing to engulf their soul, it would cause them to weep and cry, knowing the next breath they may be sucking the sad walls of flames of torment and flame of fire in their soul. One day the judgment of God will stand the church of the living God, the great white throne of judgment. I'm afraid of this. It scares me, Brother Jason. We'll stand as a church one day and watch them be judged, and death in hell will give up the dead and they'll come forth and stand before him. Some of them, I'm afraid, they'll look at us and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me more? Why didn't you beg me? Why didn't you plead with me? Oh, that old song said, you passed me day by day and you knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned him to me. Oh, I dread the day when I stand there and watch my loved ones being cast in the lake of fire, and some dear loved one I see look at me and say, preacher, why didn't you tell me? You passed my house, you went up and down, you worked with me, and you never told me about the Lord. You never showed compassion, you never compelled me, you never begged me to come. I say, God, I have more concern. Break my heart. Oh God, help me see sinners going to hell, and may the joy and juice of God fall down my face to beg them to get right with God, for it's everlasting too late. Lord God, give me a desire. Give me a deep burden, Lord. Burden my heart. Oh God, yeah, I don't want to go to hell, but I want a burden, Brother Russell, till I can't sleep at night. I lose my appetite. Somebody said, what is fasting? Is it a diet plan? I said, no. If that be the case, I'd be starved to death. Ain't a diet plan. It's when you get the burden, you just can't eat. When you get the broken, pastor, you got to push that plate aside. All you think about is the sinner or the services. You want everything just right. You want the Spirit of God to move. The only thing you want God to show up and do something. And you're willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to get that burden. See the lost loved ones get saved. That's what it means to fast. I believe with all my heart, we need a burden back again for lost souls. Oh, God, I want more than concern. But let me give you this. I'm done. Lord, help me. I preached all night. I'm so sorry. I'm through. This is it. I'm going to the house. I've got to wait on him to preach. Let me tell you this. I'm about full here. Look at this. I'm getting up. I'm just about there. I believe I have to have that preaching, the Word of God. Yeah. Got to preach. Lord, we need preaching. The Bible said, for the edifying of the saints of God, for the midst of the work of God, for the perfecting of the saints of God.
Amen.
It's the energy, it's the sustainer.
Yes,
it'll help us.
Yeah.
If we don't get preaching, man, most of my folks want a little preaching,
yeah.
A little bit. They like that deal cream, a little dab of doom,
yeah.
You know. I think some of them like to have a drive-through.
Yeah.
Well, then drive through, Brother Jason, and pick it up and go to the house.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's a sad day with heaven in.
Yeah.
They want a little preaching. They don't want much. They want some kind of little pat on the back and You know, blow those smoke in the air, let them go on their way. I said, Lord, help us. We need some preaching, man. Something to edify the saints and educate the children of God. Amen. And enlist us in the army of God and give us the equipment to fight with. That's what we need, old-fashioned, old-time hellfire preaching. Amen. About a month of this, praise God, might help us out a little bit. I'm telling you, we need some preaching to us. Amen. Somebody crack that book open and preach the hide off of us. Amen. That's what we need, ain't it? I mean, I tell my Paul, man, he's just God on Sunday night, he's on Sunday morning. He's good on Wednesday night, but he's good, he's God. Some of them folk wouldn't know what we do on Wednesday night. They wouldn't know. We could be handling snakes for all they know. They wouldn't know what we're doing. They wouldn't know what we're doing, I'm telling you. I'll tell you what we do when we preach.
Yeah.
Yeah. We crack that book. That's why folk got problems. They need preaching, man. God, give us some preaching again this day. We try entertainment. We try all kinds of gimmicks. We need some old-time Holy Ghost heaven-sent preaching again. Amen. 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 Lord, give me a drink of that, praise God. I'll tell you. Let me give you this. Here, you'll like this one real good. I'm done. I'm sorry. I've took so long, but I'm about full. I'll tell you. One more cup probably do it. If I could just get to a participation. Get involved in the things of God. You know why people get out of church? They get bored. They get stiff. They get numb. But I found that a good tool for being boredom is getting busy.
Amen. Yeah.
The Bible said, occupy till they come.
Amen.
You'll find yourself getting busy for the Lord. Whatever God wants you to do, just get in there and do it for the God.
Amen.
And be a participator for the Lord. You'll find yourself so busy you ain't got time to get bored. We got a lot of dictators, got a lot of commentators, got a lot of spectators, but we ain't got too many participators. Somebody said the average church runs about 80% of freeloaders, loafers. The other 20% carries a load. That's about the way it is. And you wonder why they struggle, why they have such hard times. It's just because a lot of them are dictators. They want to tell everybody else how to do it.
Yeah.
I've got a few of them. They think y'all do it this way, do it that way, and they won't tell you how to do it, and they won't do nothing. Yeah. They wouldn't even change a light bulb. they wouldn't dare change it, put toilet paper in the bathroom. Wouldn't do that. They'll tell somebody else to do it. Then we got some spectators. They'll sit back there and watch and hope something happens. And one they said one time, said, preacher, it just ain't like it used to be. I said, you get right, it might be like it used to be. Yeah, maybe you reason why you don't feel right because you ain't living right. But if you get to living right, it might feel right again, amen. That's what's wrong with us. We ain't doing right. If we'll do right, it will feel right again, amen. You got them spectators, them dictators, them commentators. You got a lot of them, ain't you? Yeah, they'll just sit around, wait, look, and expect everybody else to do all the job. They'll get the credit for it. That's the way it is, and I'm done. I'll tell you what I want. I'm going to be a participator. I want to be involved in the things of God. Everybody can't be a preacher. Everybody can't be a singer. Everybody can't be a deacon. Everybody can't be a Sunday school teacher. But everybody can do something.
That's right.
If all I can do is sweep the floor, if all I can do is change the light bulbs, if all I can do is be a visitor, somebody to go out and visit the sick. One lady one time, and I promise you, I'm going to sit down and be quiet. One lady one time, I was in revival meeting in an old church. There wasn't no water, no facilities, nowhere in the house. I had that lady, she come and brought water every service. Brought water. Sit right there in the tub of water. I would never drink water. I never drink it. Like an old camel. I'll go all night and never drink water and get done. And I remember that woman, she'd bring that water. And that Thursday night, that pastor said, Brother Billy, said, that woman come to me several Sundays ago and said, preacher, what can I do? I can't read the Bible. I'm illiterate. I can't read. He said, I don't know how to teach. I can't teach. What can I do? And he got the preaching over there in that word of God where it says they'd give a cup of water to the prophet in Jesus' name will not lose the reward. She said that preacher after service said, I know what I can do now. I'll bring the preacher water. She brought water. Every time the service was open, she'd bring the preacher water. And she told me that. After service that night, I said, ma'am, would you go fill it up again? I want another shot of that. There's always something you can do. I promise. If you want to do something for God and serve the Lord, I promise he'll find the work for you to do. I promise he will. I wonder why we stand at their feet. I'm done. I want to ask you a question. Are you filled? Are you full of God? Are you really full? I wonder if somebody come play something softly, maybe. I wonder, is there a room?